This is the Angles of Latitude podcast, session number 45 with military veteran, mentor, consultant, and coach, Melinda Enfinger.
This is squadron leader confirming hostiles inbound. Prepare for battle.
What you're about to hear is the integration of life.
Clarity is power.
If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right.
Liberty.
We choose to go to the moon.
It's happening.
And all things equal.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know how to answer that.
You got a badass over here.
Welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Angles of Latitude podcast. You all know this is the show where we talk with fellow creators about how they found their true groove in life by doing work that matters. Not only to them, but possibly the rest of the world. Every Thursday, we publish another conversation about the art and science of truly living a life of passion, and how you, too, can do the work you're meant to do. Today, your hosts are myself, J.C. Preston, and Layla Ramadian. We're part of the team at New Inceptions, a website dedicated to helping creative entrepreneurs do passion-filled work and, more importantly, connecting them with the resources and community they need to help share their message with others. This session is powered by Fizzle. If you don't know what Fizzle is, it's an online community that supports creative entrepreneurs like yourself build their businesses online. For only $35 a month, you can get access to a library of courses that will help you get off the ground when launching your online business. You can also get access to the forum, which I think is one of the most supportive communities on the web. Also, and this is the icing on the cake, so to speak, you can get access to the staff at Fizzle every Friday for office hours called Fizzle Fridays. If you're the type of individual who wants to start an online business that has no idea where to start, Fizzle might be a great option. You can check it out for free for 2 weeks by going to newinceptions.com/fizzle. Again, that's newinceptions.com/fizzle. Something else that you might want to check out that is for free is my new ebook called The Six Cornerstones of a Successful Online Business. If you're more of a global learner and want to see the entire layout of your future business before you get started, then this is definitely a must-have part of your electronic library. Believe it or not, business is not just about making a product and hoping it sells. In fact, there's a tried-and-true formula of making a product that you know will sell. I touch on creating your product as just one of the six cornerstones. Get the ebook for free and find out what the others are at newinceptions.com/six cornerstones. And again, that's newinceptions.com/six cornerstones. So moving on, today's chat is with someone that I think veterans in our community need to hear from. If you're if you've heard the AOL podcast session with Joe Crane, you know that veterans actually make good entrepreneurs. You know, they know all about leadership and really what it takes to get things done in general. Melinda Enfinger is a great example of this, and after retiring as a Marine after 9 years of the service, she has been through what many would consider a transformation of her career. However, it's actually all kind of tied together by a single thread of service and caring about people in her life, veterans and women alike. In this chat, we talk about her years of service, how she got into coaching and working with veterans, and a few things that you or a veteran you might know might not necessarily realize about certain veteran benefits. Don't forget, show notes are available at newinceptions.com/session45, and I'll be on after the conversation to fill you in on anything we might have missed. Hey guys, welcome back to the show. It's JC, and I'm joined today with my awesome co-host, Layla, and we're glad to have you with us today. Before I get to our guests, I just want to catch up with Layla, and as you know, she's hasn't been on the show for a while, and that's because she spent a good part of the last month traveling Europe. So, Layla, really interested about your travels. I know we were connecting last night about for the first time with the Fizzle meetup, and you know, you were kind of telling me a little bit about what you were up to, but what are some more of the highlights of your guys' trip?
Honestly, I think the biggest highlight of the trip is I got to learn more about my husband and celebrate our one-year anniversary, but it was just such a great way to kind of get a break and kind of just have a clear mindset on, you know, a different perspective of living in Europe and people and just getting to know the culture. And we walked 200 miles. I mean, ooh. I had a Fitbit and it was like 25,000 steps a day.
So you literally did backpack.
We literally backpacked, but Airbnb style, if that makes sense. So
yeah, because there's definitely some people that say that they're going to backpack and it's like, that's not exactly what you did. You train traveled or whatever.
Yeah, we took trains, we took flights, and then I actually am calculating exactly how much we spent and how much we saved doing what we did. But I think the coolest thing I learned was Airbnb was awesome because that was the best way and the fastest way to get to know what were the coolest hole in the walls to see that none of the tourists got to know about. So we avoided the crowds every way we could.
Do you think that this is kind of becoming a little bit of the norm, though? I mean, as far as you say that tourists, you know, avoiding those spaces, but as far as our generation goes, I mean, whenever someone says that they're traveling Europe, this seems to be, you know, the way that they do it.
Absolutely. I think hostels are, you know, people think is the old school now, in my opinion, of traveling on a budget. I think Airbnb is traveling on a budget, but also getting to know the community at the same time. So it's cutting off completely from the hotel industry and straight into the locals and helping them with their budgets and costs, as well as sharing them, having them share with us their home. And you just get so much more value out of it. And I've met a lot of Airbnbers along the way, and they're doing the same exact thing and they just love it. So it's just like, it's a cool way and of traveling, and it's safe because Airbnb has that insurance policy. But I'm really excited to, I wrote down a bunch of things that I want to share, on my channel. And one of them is going to be about how to travel light and Airbnb.
Cool. Well, definitely look forward to that. And
yeah,
you got a lot of things, as we were talking about, lined up for the upcoming year and even just the next couple of months, really. And so, yeah, a lot of cool stuff coming on. So
thanks.
Be sure to check her out, guys. And yeah, look forward to it again. So, Layla, today we actually, again, have a guest. It's not just us conversing here.
I know.
And yeah, we should probably introduce her. And you know, she's an serial entrepreneur that shares many contacts that I have. And that's actually how I got to meet her on Facebook. But currently she's a real estate consultant, and she's also has a site that you guys can check out sometime called defineyourdiva.com if you want to find out more about her. But on top of that, she has experience in being a Marine for 9 years. She's co-founder of a marketing consulting firm, and has also been a copywriter for many well-known speakers, coaches, and marketers. So I think it's safe to say that she definitely has some experience that many people in the audience could learn from. And her name is Melinda Enfinger. And Melinda, welcome to today's show.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it. And I'm glad to be here.
So your story seems to be a very unique road. And because of that, I'm sure you have plenty of expertise and a ton of disciplines. And first off, I want to kind of touch base with the whole Marines aspect. I'm assuming that, like many, many women in the military during the 90s, you were in there during a time that the military was trying to figure out how to properly utilize you guys. And so not only was the military, you know, still trying to figure you all out at large, but you join the Marines, who still to this day is the group that, you know, quote, alpha males join. Why did you choose the Marines, and was being in the military something you always wanted to do?
Oh, that's a good question. Actually, it was kind of an interesting story how I came to join the Marine Corps. I was actually abandoned when I was 15 years old. And so I joined the Marine Corps when I was 17. Honestly, it was just so I'd have a place to stay and, you know, something stable. And why the Marine Corps over something else is because I just felt like I wanted to be the best. Felt like I'd kind of maybe gotten a little bit of a raw deal. And so maybe the world looked at me as less, you know, or I felt like it was less, you know, than other people. So I wanted to prove that I was just as good and I could handle it.
And so, like, what, I mean, what was your personal experience like? Because again, that's the 90s. That's when the movie G.I. Jane came out. And, you know, was that more of your experience, or did you kind of, did maybe your platoon or whatever you call the group of people, were you okay?
Well, you know, I think the interesting thing is that now being friends with a lot of Marines, you know, who are women, it's a lot of it's still the same. But, you know, we trained separately from the men. All of the boot camps are still, you know, they're still separate. And I think that's a really good thing. Mm-hmm. But it is a male-dominated society. Back then, a lot fewer jobs were open to females. So, you know, you're kind of limited more so on what you could do. But even the jobs, you know, that were available, there were very few women in them. So, you know, it was a very, very, very high male to female ratio.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And so you were just talking about the fact that there were only so many jobs available to you guys. You ended up being an electrician, and you know, what was, how did you pick that? Were you sent into that? How did that come about?
Well, when a recruiter comes to your school and starts wowing you, you know, in their dress blues and telling you about all the things that you can be, mm-hmm. you know, they say you can pick what you want to do. And then whenever you fill out your, you know, your paperwork, there's a list of numbers, and they're the job numbers, your occupational specialty. Mm-hmm. You can get any of those. And they kind of, they base it on your test scores and your aptitudes and also obviously the needs of the Marine Corps. Mm-hmm. It's kind of luck of the draw within a certain pool of jobs that you pick. So I knew going into it that I was going to be in the aviation field.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. So you were in there for 9 years and active for 9 years. This isn't just, you know, reserves or whatever. This is active. And then, you know, for the most part, would you say that you had a fairly prolific, you know, good experience then during those 9 years? Or,
you know, in retrospect, everything is always better than it, you know, the good times were always better than they really were. And you kind of forget about some of the negative things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would say it was probably about, you know, normal, what normal is, mm-hmm. whether you're male or female. Mm-hmm. I had a good career in that, you know, I advanced, you know, as I should have. And I got to be an instructor in my field. So, you know, that was something that I really enjoyed doing. And I was really good at what I did. So, you know, in that respect, it was great. Of course, it's also that, you know, that male dominated society in certain areas, you know, certain places that I was stationed was more of a good old boy network than others.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, depending on, you know, on the duty station, some of them were better than others with the experience. But, you know, I would say that I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. It is, you get so much life experience, that you just can't get anywhere else. You know, it doesn't matter if you've been to college or not. There are certain things that you just can't quite comprehend if you haven't been in the military.
Mm, right. I understand what you're saying right there, because there's a lot of conversations that my wife and I have about military, and it's just like, yeah, good old boys club. That's something that she talks about a bit. You know, just, yeah, I get you for sure. So after you left the Marines, you went into realty, and you still continue to consult in it to this day. How did you find yourself in that world?
Well, I was married to a Marine who was also active duty at the time. And we were stationed in at Cherry Point in North Carolina. And there wasn't really any other, you know, type of job that I could get that, you know, paid decent. Honestly, I mean, we're going to just tell the truth here. And I didn't really want to work on base, you know, as a civilian. So, you know, the easiest way to get into business for yourself and to actually start making money, you know, at the time was real estate. And I honestly, I think that probably is still the case.
Nice. So where were you stationed at?
At the time, we were in North Carolina. At Cherry Point.
Well, that makes sense. Carolina is really good as far as realty goes down there. They usually straighten it up big.
Yeah, that was a really good area during that the mid-90s. Mid 2000s, 2005, 2006.
Okay, yeah. So it's died down a little bit down that way.
Well, I don't think it really has, but I've been in Texas for the last almost 6 years.
Oh, okay. So it was a relocation thing that moved you out. Okay.
Yes.
Cool. So, again, going back to the Marines, did you have any kind of like skills that helped you prepare for being successful with that, or how did that transition go?
It was kind of odd when I first got out of the Marine Corps, and I first got a job. My very first job after the Marine Corps was the Overseas Collection Counselor for Navy Federal Credit Union, and it was so bizarre to have people call me by my first name. It felt entirely too familiar. Mm-hmm. So it really was something of a transition, and you know, kind of seems silly to say that, but it was uncomfortable, and it took some time. It was definitely a change. But one of the things that I think that you really get from being in the military is just the understanding that life happens, things happen, and you kind of, you know, you don't let things get you wound up the way, you know, other people might, you know, in real estate, especially there's, you know, always some sort of, you know, quote unquote emergency or, you know, drama. And you just don't get wrapped around the axle with that type of thing because, you know, there in reality is no real estate emergency. You know, when you've worked on things that involve life and death, you know, it kind of changes your perspective. And so it helps you to, you know, just be a little bit less dramatic and unaffected and just get more done.
Hmm. So what are some of the things that you've really liked about doing realty for so long? I mean, obviously you have a really big interest in helping people with that.
Well, I would have to say just really helping people. You know, I love helping people, and especially the military community and veterans. When I first got into it, you know, I really didn't know anything about the process or anything. And it just, you know, I started dawning on me that, you know, all these people in the military who are, you know, living on base or they're renting because they're only, you know, stationed in an area for, you know, a few years, you know, that when they get out, whether it's in 4 years or 9 years or 20 years, you know, they have nothing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You rented your whole life and you have nothing to show for it. And so it kind of, you know, it made me want to like help people realize, okay, look, if we do this, you know, then you can have, one, you're going to still have a place to live that you actually, you know, have some pride in that you can, you know, build up and that you could potentially make money from. And whenever you, you know, when you get out or move, you have, you know, something to start with. So you're not starting from ground zero because you're already starting from ground zero as a civilian.
Right. Right. And, you know, one of the things that I've kind of likened those that are from the military background are kind of like professional sports players, because when you're done and there's a massive transition. The only difference is that professional sports players, well, they got money. Right.
Right.
And, you know, I think that a lot of people, when they, you know, realize that they're talking to a veteran, might not necessarily understand that they're, you know, that person is probably going through a big transition, especially if they're just, you know, recently out. And kind of like what you were saying when you first got your first job. And so it's really interesting to me. One of my podcasting buddies that's been a part of my mastermind, his name is Joe Crane. And one of the things that he loves, his whole entire podcast is helping. He's the pathfinder for veterans into entrepreneurship, if that makes sense. Yeah. And I mean, that's his main thing. And so he just helps people, do that. And then I guess you're more the realty side of things. It's like, okay, if he's going to help people do entrepreneurship, you're going to help people with the consulting, or not the consulting, but with the real estate. So that's cool. I like that.
Oh, thank you. Now, honestly, if I can just kind of expound on that just a little bit, you know, I really don't look at it as just real estate. I kind of look at it as a way to, you know, just affect lives, because mm-hmm. there's so much involved in that process. As far as, you know, back whenever the market crashed and there were all the foreclosures, you know, a lot of people were affected, and a lot of service members were affected also. And you know, I've looked at the statistics, and you know, there's not specific numbers, but the trend is there that the suicide rate, you know, skyrocketed during that time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you can help one person keep their home, you know, and the VA really works with lenders in order to keep homeowners from having to go into foreclosure, you can save one person from that who may have, you know, been one of those 22 people that we hear about, you know, so often, you know, that commit suicide every day, then it's worth it. But I feel like it can really help, you know, the military community as well as just our local communities.
Mm. Cool. So kind of give me an example. Do you have any stories and those that you've really been able to help, you know?
Well, I do have some interesting stories. For instance, you know, every state has different benefits for veterans.
Mm-hmm.
I'm currently in Texas, which just happens to be probably, I would say the best state as far as veteran benefits. But it's also the only state that has a land program for veterans where you can buy land that you have absolutely no intention of building a home on. And you can buy it for a much lower down payment, 5% down payment, as opposed to, you know, the 20% you would have to if you're doing it, you know, with another conventional type loan.
Mm-hmm.
And the interest rate is lower than a conventional. So, you know, there are definitely some benefits that a lot of people don't realize. And it was funny because I was having a conversation with a friend of mine who owns a real estate company that's franchised in 16 states.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and he's a Marine also. So, you know, he's got some, you know, he's got the experience on both sides, the veteran side and then also the real estate. And I was having this conversation with him and he stopped me. He's like, wait a minute, are you telling me that the land I just bought, I could have got with a lower down payment and a lower interest rate? I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, and you know, here's the thing. You've owned a real estate company for years and you didn't know this. If he didn't know this, why would we expect just, you know, our veteran community or military community, why would we expect them to know it? Mm. You know, they don't. So people are just missing out on it. And so it's kind of become more of a mission or a crusade to really let people know what their benefits really are and to make sure that they're actually receiving them. There are so many things that are being cut and taken away that, you know, if there's a way to improve lives by making sure you get the benefits that you've earned, you know, that's what I'm here to do.
Nice. Yeah, I, you know, and again, you bring up a completely good point of the fact that, you know, again, my wife and I, we have, you know, for one, as far as insurance purposes go, you know, we're on TRICARE, right? Which the reason we're on TRICARE is because it's honestly like the cheapest like insurance that's out there right now. I mean, compared to Obamacare and all the other things, you know, I used to be on Blue Cross and Blue Shield, which when I think it was, what was it, 2013, 2014, when Obamacare did come into play, I mean, it tripled in price or the premium. I was just like, no freaking way. So, you know, that's one of the reasons that I've gone back to the TRICARE. But as far as, you know, doing all the home loans and that sort of world, I have no knowledge. So, yeah, you know, definitely. It's really cool to know that you have that background, because I've seen the website. The website is totally confusing and I don't even know where to start. You then have also a background in copywriting, which, again, copywriting is, it's a skill set. It definitely is. And one of the things that, you know, I've been learning, you know, Layla and I both have a background in engineering. Yeah. And the thing that you have to do as an engineer is write all these technical reports of, you know, this is how the lab went and this is blah, blah, blah. And it's really, it really becomes a very technical based writing, very scientific. And when you're looking at copywriting and trying to actually connect with audiences and really doing conveying a message, that is a completely different skill set. And so I'm kind of curious. It's like, where, again, you're in the Marines, you're in realty, and now you're in copywriting. So where, how did you get even approached, or where did you see yourself doing this?
Well, I've always been something of a grammar Nazi. So that was, you know, always there kind of on the sidelines. I'd always be correcting, you know, typos or whatever that I'd see on someone's website or in their flyers or whatever. But I first got into the actual copywriting portion through real estate. I was helping out a friend who was putting together a coaching program. Mm-hmm. Had some podcasts that he had done, and I took the information from the podcast and turned it into blog posts. Mm. So, you know, that was really the first thing I did. And then I started doing his email campaigns, and just, you know, it kind of just, it took off from there. And I've actually kind of expanded into, I've done a lot of like the online, sales and marketing copy, landing pages, long form sales copy. You know, if it has to do with words, I've probably written it. But I try to stay, more so now, I try to stay more into the, real estate side of it specifically because it relates to what I do, with helping veterans.
Okay. Gotcha. So in your bio, we were reading that you had worked with marketers and speech givers or speakers. Yeah. So isn't it like a big deal to not like as a speaker looking at a teleprompter, or I mean, how did that work?
Well, as far as I've done a lot of their web copy and that type of thing, I've also done like video scripts. Mm. Now, when someone's doing their actual, you know, their speaking, you know, whatever their speaking points are on, typically, you know, they have them written out in bullet form. They don't necessarily, you know, read from a teleprompter. Okay. Some of them do, but I kind of help them with the messaging. And then they put it into, you know, something that feels comfortable for them.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. Yeah, I was just kind of like, I wasn't quite sure how a copywriter was actually helping speakers. So I was just like, got to ask her about that. So, but as far as delivering a message then, you know, there's so many different kind of names that people will know. Ray Edwards comes to mind as one of the big names in copywriting these days. What do you feel makes for good copy? I mean, how do you, let's just say that we're making a blog post, just for an example, right? How do you make a good blog post? What are five tips that you can give in making a good blog post?
The first thing is your headline has to be great. Because most people, you know, decide whether or not they're going to read it at all or even look at it based on the headline. So it needs to have something that's intriguing enough to get someone to click on it. Mm-hmm. You know, and there are formulas, you know, there are things that are proven to get people to click. But I absolutely cannot stand, you know, those clickbait little, you know, articles that they have on Facebook and everything where, you know, that's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it just, you know, it needs to have a really great, interesting topic.
Things you didn't know about such and such that you probably, you know, just learned about yesterday or something like
yes.
that.
Yes. You know, people love lists.
Yeah.
How to do this in this amount of time without having to deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Something that, you know, it's what people are really like looking for the answers to their problems, not necessarily just, you know, light reading.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So that would be the first thing. And then I would say also, whatever you're talking about, you know, break it up into small chunks and use use subheadings judiciously, but definitely break things up into small chunks, because typically when someone reads a blog post, they if they click on it from the headline, then the next thing they do is they kind of just scan down the page and see if the subheadings are interesting. And if they are, then they go back and read it.
Right. Yeah. They're not being hit by a big old wall of text, so to speak. Yeah.
Right. Yes. And also make sure that you're writing to your audience. If you're, don't fill it with a bunch of industry jargon. If you want, you know, a wider audience to read the information. If you do use industry jargon, make sure that you, explain it at least once during your blog.
Mm-hmm.
And remember that the average adult has an attention span of 7 seconds, which is 1 second less than a goldfish.
Wow.
So you've got very little time to get their attention and very little time to maintain it. You've got to have something good there.
Yeah.
So really, you know, I don't know how many tips that was.
Well, that was four. And I guess the last one would be towards how would you go about writing an epic post? Like, how do you,
yeah.
I mean, that's something that a lot of people talk about is writing epically. So what's the last tip can be towards that?
I would say, well, first of all, there is that formula. There are certain things that you need to cover. You know, what's the benefit? You know, what specifically are you talking about? But write the way you speak, because it's more interesting. And I had to really kind of work on this myself in the very beginning, because being a grammar Nazi, you know, I wanted to make sure that everything was written correctly for my English teacher.
Right.
And while it, you know, to me it sounded great because it was, you know, written very well, you know, it didn't read like a conversation, you know. So if you actually, you know, use run-on sentences or fragments, you know, it's actually okay to do that nowadays, because that's the way people speak.
Wow.
So write to your audience and write kind of at a eighth grade reading level.
Huh. Something else that I got a question on in regards to that. When you're writing copy or when someone is trying to deliver a message, is it better? I've noticed that some people will bounce back between using we versus using you sort of thing. What, I mean, is that more of a personal preference, or is that like something, is there a rule there somewhere?
Well, I'm sure there probably is a rule there. Actually, I would say though that my rule is, if I'm, you know, trying to explain the benefit, and this is what a lot of online marketers will do, when you're explaining the benefit, you want to talk to them as if you are actually sitting across the desk from them, talking to them, you know, over a margarita or something.
Okay.
You know, it needs to be, you know, you. You know, if you're telling them about something that you've experienced yourself, then use we, of course. But, you know, this is how I did it. You know, these are the things that I did to do this. But if I'm telling you how to, these are the things that you can do. And if you do these things, these are the things that you can expect to see from it.
Okay.
So, you know, it's basically, you know, it's really just, you know, have a conversation.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Because a lot of times when I'm writing posts and I write one every week, it's like, am I coming across as being a little bit too commanding in this? You know, you need to do this, you need to do that. And whereas other writers, I'll see, like, we often find that our, you know, concerns, blah, 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 blah. And what we need to, you know, express is et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's just like, it's a completely different writing style and one that I'm learning how to convey a little bit more. But, it, you know, it seems to be a little bit more friendly. So cool. But Layla, you had some questions about coaching and consulting, didn't you?
Yes, I do. Well, you know, one thing about copywriting, I just want to say I'm a horrible writer and I give power to you for doing it because I did not have good writing skills growing up. Or say I can't even speak well. Math was my thing and science. So it's awesome to have people that are experts in areas that you're weak in. So it makes me feel good that we're not all the same. Another avenue you went down is coaching and consulting. So can you explain what inspired you to go down this route from the military to the realty industry? How did you get into coaching and consulting?
You know, having been in the military, I think maybe kind of pushed me because of the fact that I saw that there were very, very, very few senior women who really provided that type of mentorship or leadership for younger Marines. And sadly, I still feel like that's the case. It seems
really?
Like, you know, yes, yes, it's sad, but you know, I mean, you and I both know women can be catty.
Yep.
So you put a group of women in a room and, you know, there's going to be some drama typically, you know, if you're all working together or whatever. And that's true in the military also. But a lot of times because it's such a male dominated society,
yeah,
it can be really hard for a woman, you know, and she can have some very, very, very painful lessons that she's had to learn. And unfortunately it also makes you hard. And you have to like protect yourself, you know, be hardcore, just like the men. And in doing so, a lot of people, and I've even heard them say this, I'm not going to help her because I had to deal with that. So I'm going to let her deal with it herself as well.
Yeah.
Instead of learning from my mistakes, I want her to suffer and be embarrassed and go through those hardships as well. Because if I had to do it, I don't want to be the only one.
You know, it's funny because I had that same thought process too being in the male dominant field, like engineering and working for the government. You get that feeling of, I have to learn tough just like everyone else did. And if I help someone else, I'm making their lives easier. Kind of thought process. But I noticed in my viewpoint that I couldn't see people suffer the way I suffered when I was trying to figure it up. So I naturally went to that. I want to help people because I think I have a purpose to share that. So I could help somebody. You can help someone and they will experience something that you've never experienced. So it's just passing it along. Because what you're experiencing may not be exactly the same way, but it's nice to have someone to fall back to talk to. So that's good that you saw that. And it's unfortunate how sometimes it's not that being passed along. So who do you like working with the most? Is it a type of group of women? Is there an age group? Is it mostly veterans? What area do you like working with the most?
Well, I love working with women and girls. I have a daughter. She just turned 15 a couple of months ago. And, you know, I always thought that I was going to work specifically with women, just women's issues, not real estate, not military, just women's issues. And then my daughter comes along and she's going through those awkward middle school years. And you know, it's funny because, you know, when you're in middle school and if you're not one of the popular kids, which I wasn't, it can be really hard. And, you know, being that age, you don't know what to do. And it's very traumatic because people always remember that, right?
Yep.
So think about whenever your daughter starts going through this and you still don't know what the answers are. Like, wait a minute, this is like reliving my middle school years, but I have to watch my daughter do it. I still don't know the right things to say or the right things to do. So it made me think that, okay, something's got to give. And so I just started kind of working with my daughter. And so it kind of expanded into, women and girls. But I have to say that the one thing that I always go back to, and I probably talk to someone about this every single day, are veterans issues, whether it's entrepreneurship, whether it's, you know, their benefits with their buying a home, whatever it may be. I'm always drawn back to helping veterans become more and be more and be successful. And I think that, you know, something that you said, you didn't want people to, you know, experience the same thing you did, because if you help them, they'll experience something completely different. You know, I think at some point, you know, we all hopefully get to a place where, you know, success stops being focused so much on ourselves and what we're accomplishing and, you know, our titles. And it kind of starts being more about the people that you help become successful.
Yeah. Hmm. Well said. Well said.
There's a show that I bring up, I've brought up a couple of times, that Maria and I watch on the Disney Channel. And you've probably heard of it. Girl Meets World.
I love that show.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen that one.
Yeah. Well, I was just, you know, they've just now gone to high school and the current season. And, yeah, you were talking about the struggles that, you know, today's middle schoolers have to go through. And I was just like, man, these kids really seem like adults compared to when I went through.
I know, right?
Yeah. So I can only imagine some of the things that you're having to cope with when talking with her. So, yeah.
Just out of curiosity, is Girl Meets World the prequel or the sequel of Boy Meets World?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's their kids.
Yeah. Corey and Topanga are in there regularly as the parents.
It's kind of like Fuller House.
Yeah.
I actually like this one, the Girl Meets World. I like that better than the other one, the Boy Meets World. I think it's better.
Awesome. Yeah,
it's a little cheesier, I think, but it's definitely more adult oriented, I think. Actually, which is kind of interesting because they do have to touch on a lot of not like super adult stuff, but stuff that I'm pretty sure I didn't think about at their age, for sure.
Well, yeah, I definitely know I wasn't thinking about a lot of those things at their age, but you know, this is a completely different, you know, era, and I think a lot of kids, you know, are dealing with a lot of things in middle school that we didn't deal with until high school or later.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. So sorry about that.
That was really good. I have another question for you. What kind of success are you seeing in coaching? And what are the notable stories that you remember that you'd like to share with us?
Well, I coach the women's issues and real estate and veterans. I help veterans, you know, market themselves as veterans, and I help, you know, the real estate agents work with veterans. And I would say that that's probably where most of my focus is right now. Just because at the end of last year, I had a conversation with the office of the chairman of the House Committee on Veterans Affairs. We talked about this VA home loan program, and I was blown away by how much they didn't know. And they were actually blown away by how much they didn't know. So it really kind of spurred me to kind of step it up and start getting the word out and making sure that people know this, you know, to kind of create a movement or at least, you know, build a voice. And I've had a lot of success in that because that is pure passion. And meaning that, you know, that's not my job. That's not even what I get paid to do. So, but I do that because to me, that is important. It affects people's lives. And when I talk to agents, groups, without fail, you know, once we have the conversation, they're like, wow, I had no idea. And this makes so much sense now. But, I think that the biggest obstacle, you know, is still, you know, getting the word out to more people.
Got it.
But I definitely have seen a lot of people who have completely changed their point of view and who've learned a lot and who've been able to help people, you know, help them save money, you know, buying a home, save money off, you know, every single month, you know, and just provide them with some resources that the veteran would never even have known were available to them. So, you know, that I would say is definitely a success. I'm, you know, working with I'm considering partnering with a company to help them create a program for veterans in real estate. Those things are kind of in the works. And so I would definitely say it's growing and it's successful. What was the other part of your question? I'm sorry.
Tell me some stories, anything that's notable or that's memorable for you as to the success that you're seeing in your coaching.
Any specifics, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, let me see.
Like, what is so far something you remember that was so memorable in coaching that you're like, this was so awesome?
I would have to say there was a luxury agent in a very, very high-end market. And, you know, I was having a conversation with him in one of our Facebook groups. And, you know, I asked the question about, well, how do you advise clients in a multiple offer situation? Other than price, what do you look at? And, you know, I kind of already knew what they were going to say. And without exception, you know, the loan type came up. And everyone that talked about, you know, the VA loan, it was just all negative. Like, you know, it takes too long. You know, it costs too much for the seller. It's this and that. And I, you know, I had this conversation with him. And he said, definitely I would choose any other loan program over the VA, because of all the reasons I just mentioned. Hmm. I asked him, like, hey, can we get on the phone? And he's like, oh, okay. So we start talking, and I started telling him a couple of things about the program and, you know, asking him questions. And, you know, his first real objection was, well, there's not any veterans in this area.
Oh boy.
So, and he lived in the Northeast, and he, you know, gave me his, I asked him what county he lived in. He's like, there's really, you know, there's no one around here. So I looked it up, and I have a database and I said, you know, there are over 11,000 civilian veterans in your county. And he's like, what? I'm like, yeah, there's, you know, there's all of these veterans here that, this hidden market that people aren't looking at. And you know, every agent is it's hammer in them from the very beginning, you know, get a for sale by owner campaign and market to expired listings because, and this is the phrase I always use, they've already raised their hand to say that they want to sell real estate. But, you know, for sale by owners and expired listings, they hate us. You know, they're angry and they're skeptical and they're bitter and they don't like, they, you know, they have a reason to not, you know, really want to deal with the real estate agent. But on the other hand, veterans are very loyal and, you know, it is a very small world. And statistically, given the choice, a veteran would choose to do business with another veteran if they could for the same services. So, you know, I just asked them, I'm like, well, if you're marketing to those, you know, for sale by owners and those expired listings, when was the last time that you went to one of those meetings that they have every month, you know, where they, all the for sale by owners, they get together and they, you know, just kind of network with each other and refer business to each other, and refer new business. Where was that one at? He's like, what? I'm like, oh, that's because they don't have those. For sale by owners and expired listings are these one-off things, but in every single community, there are veteran organizations where veterans get together and they talk and they network and they send business to each other and they, you know, and it's this little family unit. And you see someone, you know, out in town, I still say out in town, who happens to be a veteran, there's an instant bond there.
Yeah.
So that community, if you help one person in that community, all of a sudden, you know, you're the go-to person. If you're doing, you know, if you're doing the right things. And he was just so surprised, one, that there were so many, you know, potential clients in that area. But also, you know, all of the resources that are actually available to help that community that he had no clue. And I get, you know, after 20 minutes, he had asked me to work with him to create a, you know, a complete marketing plan and a strategy to create that program in his office for his agents.
Wow. Wow. I got a quick question real quick.
Okay.
So during the pre-show, we were talking about how my wife and I are going to be looking for, you know, our first house before too long, and wanting to use the VA loan as the way of getting that down payment. How would I, because one of the things that we struggled with, we didn't even realize that for us to take advantage of that, we have to use her credit line. We did not know that. And so we're helping, you know, her past financial errors right now, and, you know, taking care of getting her credit back up. On top of that, though, is there anything that, you know, married couples that are in that situation should be looking out for as obstacles to, or recommendations that you'd be telling married couples when they're looking at their first house?
Yes, definitely. Work on your, you know, your credit, making sure that you're being consistent in your payments, so you're not, you know, having charge offs or, you know, or late payments that are going to reflect on your credit report. You know, with the, at least for the 12 months prior to, you know, purchasing. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, when you start looking, and you have that conversation with the real estate agent, I would always suggest, using a buyer's agent. And that is someone who, you know, you sign an actual agreement with them. It says that they represent you. A lot of people have an aversion to doing that because they feel, I don't know, they feel like there's some sort of, you know, trick there. They're being, you know, bound that to that one agent. But that agent is actually looking out for your best interest. And so that's why you absolutely want to make sure that you have that. But the agent, during that first conversation or the first couple of conversations you have, if they don't ask you if you are a veteran or the spouse, well, obviously, if you're married, you're not going to be the unremarried spouse. But if you're, they ask you if you're a veteran or active duty service member, then, you know, first of all, the flag should go up, because that really should be the first question out of every agent's mouth. Because any client who walks in, any prospect who walks in your office could potentially be a veteran.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't ask you that, then they're probably not going to ask you the next question, which should be, do you have a disability rating of 10% or higher? So if they're not actively seeking out that information from you, you need to bring it up. And if they try to steer you away from it, or discourage you or brush it off, you need to find another agent. Because that second question of, do you have a disability rating of 10%? You probably already know that there's a VA funding fee that's associated with the loan. You know, it's depending on if it's your first or use or your subsequent use, the amount changes. But if you have a disability rating of 10% or higher, that funding fee is waived no matter how many times you've used it, no matter how much the home is. So, you know, that could save you thousands of dollars right off the bat.
That's awesome to know.
Yeah, that's that's an interesting topic there on its own, because, you know, she was in Iraq, and she's definitely can attribute some issues that she has with her health due to her time in the military. But unfortunately, she got the idea that she wasn't going to document it as it happened. So it's like, oh. Here.
Well, I would suggest for her that she contact her local VA service center, or veteran service center. A lot of people don't realize, and I didn't actually realize this either, that those service centers represent the veterans. They're not part of the VA. So they actually help you apply for your benefits, and they help you appeal and get the benefits that you should be getting. Typically, it has to do with either the health or education, but you can go back after the fact, and if you had any kind of documentation at all, and you know, even if she doesn't, I would suggest that she go in and talk to them, because they can probably help her.
And see, that's one of the things, is that the VA was asking for a witness, and the only thing, I mean, she doesn't know where those people were back then, you know, some of them, you know, might not even be around anymore. But the thing is that she does have a document that was actually from from that, like acknowledging that something happened,
right?
Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that that's like the main statement. I forget what that's called, but like the main statement form that every military person has. I forget what that form is called, but it is something that did document, but it's not a witness. And so maybe that she could use that. So, okay.
I would definitely suggest that she go down there because they deal with that all the time. Mm-hmm. And if there is, you know, a way to get the information that you need without, you know, killing yourself, jumping through hoops, and they'll be able to help her do it.
Okay, cool. Good to know.
Yeah.
So.
Rapid fire. Let's do it. Okay, Melinda. What are three influences or teachers that have catapulted you to where you are today?
My high school history teacher. My boot camp drill instructors. And my son, my oldest son.
Really?
Yep.
Hmm. Yeah, cool. I'm surprised that you would use the drill instructors. That's cool.
Oh yeah, they change your life because you know you go to boot camp, Marine Corps boot camp anyway. They tear you down.
Yeah.
They completely strip all of that down and they rebuild you. So they really make you who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
They have a lot of influence,
and I'm glad it's a positive influence to hear that. Oh, here's another one. Name three truths you've learned over time that you've shared with others. Three truths. Like facts.
Everybody feels ugly.
Amen.
There will always be people who can do it better or will do it better. And always do what you say you're going to do.
So true. Always say what you say you're going to do. That's a good one. That stuck with me. If you wanted to put an ad into the world, what would the message be and where would you deliver it?
Oh, wow. That's kind of a deep question. ad to the world.
Like advertising.
Let's see. I would say that experiences are only valuable if you take them and examine them. So get the most from your life experience. And I would say basically that pull out the thing, all of your experiences, good, bad, and ugly, even the ones that we always hide from everyone else, look at them, find the nugget of truth and the gift in every single situation, even the bad choices that you've made.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what's going to get you to the next level and beyond. So if you want to be truly successful, that's what you have to do. Look at the bad experiences, the bad choices, and get the gift in those. And I would put it, I'd put it on Facebook, of course. Where else would you put it? Because everybody in the world's on Facebook, right?
Yeah.
Facebook and Twitter.
Nice.
Because it's important. I would say that's important to get out to everyone because I honestly believe that we all have the same fears and issues, you know, universally.
Cool.
Good. I love it.
Thank you.
What would you say to your 30-year-old self?
What would I say to my 30-year-old self? I would say, excitement is overrated.
What?
Yep. I think that a lot of times we get restless. We're looking for something to fill a void. And I think that's where a lot of our bad choices come from. And a lot of our lack of success comes from the fact that we get bored too easily. We give up too easily because we're always looking for the next biggest, best thing. So I would say excitement is overrated. Focus on one thing and do it better than anybody else in the entire world. It doesn't matter what it is, whether it's engineering, whether it's real estate, whether it's working with veterans, whether it's being a mom, whatever it is, be the very best one there is.
Gotcha. Yeah, for I'm glad you clarified that, because at first I was like, I get excited about anything and everything. I'm never bored. In fact, I have to be excited to do something that I want to do. But it makes sense what you're saying. Like, you know, people want to try to get the rush of getting that excitement and not going through with it. They just jump around.
Right. I've seen so many people who get so excited. And if I see someone who like jumps head first and like goes whole hog, I kind of almost avoid them, because I've seen most of those flame out really quickly. If you get really super excited and just like all of a sudden you get a new blender and you go out and buy, you know, enough vegetables to do juicing for 30 days and you post it all over Facebook, you know, I can promise you it's going to be less than a week before you're throwing that thing in the garbage. Because those kind of people, they get bored.
Right. Mm. I did juicing, by the way. but
I had someone who did that, but it was right after I had my youngest son, and they gave me something with beets in it, and I swear, just the word juicing makes me just want to get sick now.
Well, you know what I found out, and this is a side note, juicing, anything that you juice, like a vegetable or a fruit, turns into a carb. So
really?
I found out that if I was juicing, let's say, carrots, it's no longer a vegetable I'm intaking. It's now a carb. And so that like totally woke me up. And I said, you know what? That's why I need fiber. I'm going to just continue making my smoothies. So,
oh, but good. No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
Wow.
Anything that you juice, like a fruit or a vegetable, it gets intaked as a carb, because your body, you've extracted everything out. You're taking sugar, and, it's more of a fat for the fruit, but also for vegetables as well. And that was a very unfortunate thing I learned, but it's a better carb than processed carbs. So, you know.
Yeah, but I really like bread and pasta. So
then make your carbs the ones that you chew. I learned that I want to chew my carbs, not drink my carbs. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. So now I make my smoothies without any carb type things. So it's all nuts, vegetables, and fruit. And it's all fiber. And yeah. But yeah. Okay. Side note over. Sorry about that. Sorry. That's the fitness in me. When you think of the word success, who comes to your mind and why?
This is going to sound kind of, it might sound a little hokey to some people. Mm-hmm. But Frank Kern. I think he kind of personifies success, because, you know, he's an online marketer. He's also a very, very, very high paid copywriter. And so I've, you know, kind of studied him for quite a while. But, you know, he made the mistakes and he lost everything. And then he had to start all over, and he did it. And now he's helping other people do it by showing them all the things that he did wrong and helping them to avoid those things so that they can be successful. And he's helping to make a lot of people successful. And to me, that's really the ultimate success, is the number of people whose lives you can change by helping them become successful.
Yeah. It's very true. Someone cool. Who's actually seen success, let it, you know, slip through their fingers and bring it back again, and then share it with others.
Now, he could be a jerk, I don't know, but from seeing, you know, his whole storyline, it seems like, you know, that's a true success story.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you're not too familiar, are you familiar with Frank, Layla?
No, I'm not.
Yeah, he's in the same circle as Brendan. He's one of Brendan's influencers as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
I will say that it's changed over the past few years. I several years ago, like 6 or 7 years, I didn't like him at all, because he's constantly dropping the F-bomb, and, you know, it's just, you couldn't listen to any of his training with kids around.
Right.
Oh, wow.
But once he changed that, and he started, like, you know, just being, I guess, being who he is without having to, you know, put that out there all the time. Seemed kind of forced and contrived, but once he stopped doing that, I definitely have a completely different opinion of him.
Huh. So he basically let Gary do all the F-bombing, huh?
Yeah. Yep.
Cool. If someone was just coming out of the military and wanting to start their own business, what are four pointers that you suggest that they do next in order to grow?
One, find a mentor. Two, follow your passion or find something that you're passionate about. But passion is a self-generating thing. It doesn't exist outside of you. So find something that you can make yourself passionate about every single day, something that will drive you to get out of bed on the days that you don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, I would say find out what resources and benefits are available to you as a veteran. There are a ton of them. Most of them are kind of structured, kind of like the VA. They make it very dry and boring.
Confusing.
Yes. Yeah. But there are some organizations out there that help veterans who want to become entrepreneurs. You know, Bunker Labs is one. There's another, I'm going to give a plug to these people because I talked to them a month or so ago, but there's a company out of Oklahoma City called Thrive 15, and they provide resources and stuff.
They're
a great, great, great resource. Veterans can get their premium subscription for free.
Yeah. And I think, again, Joe Crane, host of Veteran on the Move, you know, for one, go check that podcast out if you're a veteran. But he also uses, I think Thrive 15 is one of his sponsors, actually.
Yeah,
they're a great organization. And my fourth one would be maintain and expand your military and veteran network, because those people are, the ones who have already gone on into the civilian world and they're successful. Those are the ones who are going to support you and be that that experience and that expertise and that guidance that you're going to need. And you're also going to need to be able to look at them and say, you know what? They did it. It's possible. I can do this.
Nice.
And I say that because it's very hard. I always say it's very hard to civilian once you've marined. And it is because, that's why so many people in the military become entrepreneurs, is because we basically find ourselves to be unemployable.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and it's funny. Yeah, because Maria just like she can't. There's only so much BS that she can take in her job, and it's just.
Yeah, honestly, I think she needs to start her own business.
I'm telling you, she does, because
she's got what she takes. She has great ideas. She has a good eye. She can be a great mentor for women, and especially in the diverse community as well.
Yeah.
And we can talk about that later, but I'm saying this live. She needs to start her own business.
Well, there are a ton of resources for her.
Yeah.
I'd be happy to hook you up with some of them.
We're definitely working on that for sure too. So
yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, Melinda, thank you so much for being on today's show. And the final question is if people are interested in finding you, where can they poke around to get a hold of you at?
Well, they can email me, melinda@defineyourdiva.com, or melinda@mymilitaryspecialist.com. I have some resources there on My Military Specialist. It's, you can put your email in and get some home buying resources sent to you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just want to talk or just, get some other information, just shoot me a quick email.
Awesome. And you're on the social medias as well, so to speak. Yep. Twitters and all that stuff.
Yep. Yes. I typically do more Facebook than anything else. Facebook and LinkedIn.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, definitely, definitely a pleasure having you on, and, we'll definitely connect in the future for sure.
Great. Thank you for having me. I've enjoyed it, and I look forward to hearing about your home buying here in the near future.
All right. Sounds good.
Thanks, Melinda.
All right. Thanks, Layla.
Take care.
Okay, bye.
All right, guys. There you have it. What a What a really informative talk with Melinda. I mean, she's so full of knowledge. And in fact, you know, she stayed on a bit more after the show just to talk with me about some of the things that Maria and I are going through. And you can tell she's truly, truly dedicated to helping those in need. If you want to connect with her, you can find her social media links in the show notes via newinceptions.com/session45. Show note extras for this session include a few resources I think will be of more value to you if you like the information nuggets that Melinda was throwing out today. The first is a video of her being interviewed by Sean Madavi for the RealBees channel on YouTube. In it, she further discusses how realtors can help military veterans. The next resource is a video where she's being asked about being authentic online. And that, you know, that's something we don't get to discuss too much on the show. So that's a little bit of an extra there. The third resource is a video via the Mecklenburg County in North Carolina. It's a video that gives a glimpse into their Veterans Service Office and what it actually provides for the veterans in the area. And if you're not in that area, which most of you won't be, I imagine that you have a Veterans Service Office near you, and you really should check them out if you're interested to find out what kind of benefits you have for putting your service time in. And finally, one of the things that I've heard about since interviewing Melinda is an honor ring from the organization called 22 Kill. And in our chat, Melinda mentioned that there are 22 daily suicides of veterans in the U.S. And 22 Kill helps struggling veterans from the proceeds that they get from the honor rings. And recently, I got to say that I actually got Maria one. And if you want to check it out, you can head on over to the show notes, and there's actually a picture of it. And I also have a few links in there so you can find out more about the honor rings. So that's pretty much it for today's particular session. Again, thanks you all come for joining in today. And next week's session of the Ingalls Love Attitude podcast, you can join me again as I talk with the guest, Clay Green. And if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, Clay was interviewed by Daniel Postman. I actually have that interview in the show note extras of that particular show with Daniel. And since then, I've gotten the opportunity to come and know that this awesome guy, and his brand is called Enthusiastic Clay, and I wanted to bring him to all of you guys here on the show. He's been a coach for years, but recently he became one of Brendon Burchard's certified high-performance coaches. And those of you guys familiar with Brendon Burchard, you might get a little bit of an insight of what it means to become one of those coaches. And also in the talk, we talk about how he originally became a coach, what the process was like to be certified by Brendon. And we also talk about some of the areas that he focuses on when he's working with his clients. Clay really loves helping his clients become better at their craft, and I think you all will definitely get some great takeaways from this next session on the AOL podcast. So that said, I think that pretty much wraps up session number 45. And until next time, dig in, have fun, and take care, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Angles of Latitude podcast. Connect with us at home, at work, or on the go at facebook.com/newinceptions, on Twitter @newinceptions, or on the web @newinceptions.com.